Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Off to Gore, up the middle, lunging for the goal line, and the line judge says he has it. Touchdown, Buffalo. Here's the snap on first and 10. Back to pass. Swarmed under, and he's going to go down. Hello, Deion Walker, who had the sack. Got a helper there from A.J. Epinesa. Bouchel, back to pass, going fade ball to Shavers, who pulled it in with one hand.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sounded like a fun game. Preseason game number 3. A win. I had it up on my phone at the drive-in. Went to the drive-in movies for the first time this summer. So I had it up on my phone. Did see the Shavers catch.
Sweet catch.
Bills beat the Bucks, and now we got one more thing of business to do before we get to the regular season. Got to get that 53-man roster. That's tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It's Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, Jeremy White off today. He'll be back in tomorrow. Good morning. Everybody have a good weekend. It's a nice fall crisp in the air in the morning still.
Yep.
Which is good.
I won another scramble yesterday. It's not a big deal.
Come on. No, you did not.
I swear to God.
You won another scramble?
Won another scramble yesterday.
Where? At your club?
No. No, it was at 18 Mile Creek. Hammered.
Okay.
Got invited by a couple of my friends from high school. They were like, we want to win this tournament, so we need you to come play.
Wow. But get the championship DNA on the team?
Pretty much. Yeah, so we went 13 under, and we won.
Good for you. Good for you. Josh saw Everton finally win a game.
Oh,
I said finally. Finally. It was the second game of the season.
Their first two goals in the new stadium, first win in the new stadium, and Tommy Fleetwood gets a win. Coincidence?
Wow.
I think not.
Because he's an Everton fan?
He is. Big time. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know. You're saying that inspired him to win his first PGA tournament ever?
The people are saying.
I have a quick golf thing on that. We'll get to the Bills. A lot to get to on the Bills. I want to ask about the Ravens game also, because I've had a couple people recently say the exact same thing to me about the Bills-Ravens game.
Okay.
The FedEx Cup playoffs. Tommy
Didn't
Fleetwood
really feel like playoffs,
won the he won the tour championship.
Yes.
I recognize that, and I know they did away with the, hey, if you are number one in points in the FedEx Cup playoff, you start the tour championship 7 under.
Yeah.
And if you are, you know, in 20th place, you start 3 over, so on and so forth. But that got, you know, they got rid of that.
Yep.
And they go into this tournament, and everybody's just playing clean right from the start. So he wins the whole thing over Scheffler?
It looks like that, yeah.
Even though Scheffler had more points, or am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I thought Scheffler
had more points.
It's confusing. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Scotty won the season long, and Tommy Fleetwood won the tour championship.
I believe Scheffler was asked about this sort of exact situation before the tournament.
Yeah.
He was asked by a reporter, like, "Do you think this is right that somebody can come win this tournament after not really doing anything all year?" And the reporter actually said, like, we could have Patrick Cantlay win the championship. Does that feel right to you? And Scheffler's like, whoa, we're saying names now? And like, yeah, but that was the basis of the question.
That's the name I would have said.
Right. So. I mean,
Patrick Cantlay.
He was kind of asked about it and had to give a diplomatic answer, but I think he was like, I kind of think that's lame.
Yeah.
I dominated this year.
I'll say this.
He won 3 tournaments during this, what they would call the FedEx Cup playoffs, which I don't think golf has figured it out at all.
No.
And I don't think their previous incarnations of it really figured it out either. I actually liked what you mentioned to Brian last week about like a match play bracket.
It almost has to be that.
That's the only way you could do it. Because this is, hey, we have this point system. And hey,
but
Scheffler,
that goes out the window the second the last tournament here comes.
Right. Yeah, Scotty Scheffler, imagine you're in a golf tournament that's it's a month long, and what with 1 week to go, you are 1,000 points ahead, no matter what the thing is. You got 1,000 more points than anybody else. And hey, going into the championship, everybody gets wiped clean. Everybody goes to zero, and we're just playing top 30 or in the tournament, and that's
weird.
It.
It's weird. And the thing I'll say about this, too, is I think LIV has probably has a better setup, even though, like...
Wow, it's theirs. I'm not even familiar.
Okay, so theirs was the final week, the final tournament of the season.
Mm-hmm.
John Rahm loses in a playoff, but wins the season-long championship, and some other guy wins the LIV whatever event it was. Mm-hmm. So... at least at that moment, there was still the celebration for the guy that won the tournament. But the main celebration was, John Rahm, you just won the season-long race, even though he had not won a single LIV event.
Gotcha. I think that's probably why they did what they did.
But
he accumulated
the most points over the course of the year.
Yeah. But that's why they didn't do this, right? They didn't want Scheffler to win the FedEx Cup and have Fleetwood win the Tour Championship and have... I think it would be more about the shine off of Scheffler's win. Because nobody would care about it, but I don't think anybody would care about the FedEx Cup if, hey, Tommy Fleetwood just won the Tour Championship, his first ever win.
Yeah, it's got to be.
What are people going to care more about at the end there? So
you get seeded based on your FedEx Cup points.
Gotcha.
And then over, 4 days or 2 weeks, maybe a guy gets... maybe the top two seeds don't play in the first weekend, and it's the second weekend that they.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'll tell you.
I like that. I mean, we're definitely throwing everything. I mean, I could still do the tour championship as a standalone tournament.
Yeah.
And figure out a way to do this also, but yeah, I think a playoff in golf. Just do that. Do a bracket. Match play.
It kind of seems like they just have to do that. Yeah, because if we're sitting here, I wouldn't say I'm a casual golf fan. I watch golf every week, and I don't understand it.
The FedEx Cup.
No.
Our buddy Jeff Metis from TD Green just texted in, and from Golf Dojo, Scotty gets extra cash for winning year-long. Okay. Based on points at the end, big money. So, okay, so he gets that at least.
Yeah, but there's really no recognition.
He doesn't get the trophy, but I mean, can you tell me the prestige of the FedEx Cup? I know they would like it to be prestigious, but can you name me a single winner from before this year? Like, knowing the year, I'm sure we could name guys who won. I remember Tiger winning I'm pretty sure of this. I remember Tiger winning it the first year they did it.
Yeah.
And I don't remember ever thinking about it after that.
I remember
until yesterday.
Rory hitting a pretty crazy shot a couple of years ago on 18 to win over Tiger. Was it 2019? No, 2018 maybe?
I have no recollection.
I think Victor Hovland won it 2 years ago, 3 years
Tiger
ago.
Won the first one in 07. He won it again in 2009. That's the year you were just referencing.
No, I think it was late in Tiger's career where Tiger was in it.
Hmm.
At East Lake, but I think lost to Rory.
2012. Rory won in 2016.
Okay.
Rory won in 2019.
That's
Rory
the year.
Rory won in 2022.
2019 was 2019. The year that he beat Tiger.
I think that's the year. Tiger won the Tour Championship going into his Masters win. So maybe I'm a year off on that one. But match play. Do it. Match play. And now we get the Ryder Cup in a month.
We do have the Ryder Cup.
Which... if we care at all about this, Keegan Bradley, did you see his dilemma is he's got to decide whether he wants himself on the team.
Yeah.
He's the captain. He's been playing really well. What did he finish? Fifth yesterday? He was in the top 10.
He was scaring it on Sunday. I was paying attention. I kept kind of loading the leaderboard as we were playing golf just to kind of see where things were. And Keegan, for a minute there, I think got to 15 or 16 under, and I was like, man, if Keegan wins... he has to put himself in. I think I still think he's got to put himself in over Colin Morikawa. I mean, Morikawa hasn't played well this year.
Yeah.
He's up there. And so, they have to pick some guys that are just the names for political reasons. But, I have zero interest in seeing Patrick Cantlay play. I don't need to see Patrick Cantlay on that team.
I think there is not a golfer I enjoy watching less than he's so slow.
There's nothing about him that
sometimes
I enjoy.
Sometimes you think he's kidding with how slow he is. It looked like at one point yesterday, because they got the final group yesterday in the Tour Championship was Fleetwood and Cantlay. And at one point, they got a warning from the rules official about pace of play. And after that warning was given, it looked like Fleetwood was kind of, you know, not happy about getting the warning, or maybe wasn't happy at Cantlay.
I would think that, yeah.
Because he seemed to be playing perfectly fine pace, like
yeah.
Two practice swings, walk up and hit it on a lot of them. And he kind of like was throwing his arms up in the air like a little bit from behind. Couldn't tell what he was saying, but I wanted to imagine he was saying, "This is your fault.
Right.
It's your fault, buddy. I'm not doing this. This is your problem." So anyways, Fleetwood wins Tour Championship, his first win ever. Didn't need him getting some confidence going into the Ryder Cup, but that's fine.
You know,
that's fine.
That's
we all like him.
After my scramble yesterday, we were all watching it at the bar, and my whole thought was, I really want Tommy Fleetwood to win. He feels like golf's good guy. Like they're showing it on ESPN right now, and they're just showing tweets from LeBron, Caitlin Clark, like today's the day. Like, oh man, you know, like it felt like his win,
yeah.
The monkey off of Tommy Fleetwood's back sort of felt like the collective golf fans monkey off the, you know, because he is a very, very likable player. It's not just by fans, but by his peers. Like a very likable player.
Who gets that next in sports? Who's the next that when he's winning, it's everybody knows, like, this is, like, this person's coronation. Like, he's been...
Josh Allen, probably.
Right. Like, that is the, I think, the obvious two. You know, the guy that he wins it, and you got LeBron tweeting about it, and you mentioned Caitlin Clark was tweeting about it, and whoever. Lionel Messi is tweeting about it, and, like, everybody from the world of sports that's unconnected to this person is going to be coming out of the woodwork to be like, congratulations to this guy, because that's how big it is. That was Fleetwood. It's not even a major yesterday. It's just he had never won on the PGA at all. And you're right. Allen is going to get that if he wins immediately. Him and Lamar, right? Like him and Lamar are both going to get that level of treatment.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I would say here's the difference between Lamar and Josh is – Lamar hasn't had that many heartbreaking moments where he is...
What, like Fleetwood had those.
Like Fleetwood's had heartbreaking, like played great for 71 holes.
I think he had 3 2-shot leads in the last month and a half.
And it hasn't gone his way. And I'm thinking about...
Byron Sunday.
Nelson or like one of those...
Yeah.
And he loses to Keegan Bradley. And Keegan hits just two unbelievable shots. The approach and then the putt and like on something like that to me, it would be more reminiscent of what Josh has been through than Lamar.
Yeah.
Lamar's lost in one AFC championship game.
Right. Right.
That's it.
Yep.
And every other one, he hasn't even really gotten there. And the games that he has played, he hasn't played well in. So that's why to me, I feel like the next sports person to get over the hump, that you would feel the same way you do about like a Tommy Fleetwood, I think would be Josh Allen.
Who's after that? Or would it be a team? Like, this is not going to be for North American sports, but like, I imagine if Tottenham ever wins something, like, it'll be...
Are they lovable? Like
no, maybe not, but it'll be the same level of, oh, they finally did it.
Who's the lovable losers, though? Like, who's the lovable losers?
The Lions.
The Lions.
The Lions will get that as a team.
Yes.
Right? Dan Campbell. If they were to win it, I think they would get that.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, how many individuals are left? Like, we've checked a couple off this year, and they've both been in golf, right? Rory winning the Masters,
right,
and then Fleetwood winning a tournament. Like, a lot of the other ones, the Cubs finally won the World Series, the Red Sox won the World Series, and that's way back. So baseball doesn't really have that story
baseball,
left.
No.
That I know of.
Basketball.
The city of Cleveland finally winning a championship, like, that ended that one.
Yeah. What about the Knicks?
Are the Knicks, to your question that I about Tottenham, about are they lovable?
Yeah.
I'll ask the same question about the Knicks. Are they lovable?
Well, I mean, I love them.
I think this is the most likable they could be. How about that?
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson does that. Yeah, okay, hold on a second.
Yeah, but like they're not. They haven't knocked on any door.
No, they haven't. They have not.
They've been
no...
knocking on the doggy door, but it hasn't been the full size door.
Yeah, no, that's not. No, that would be like if, hey guys, let me pick a guy here. Again, I want a guy that's like really low on the rankings here. Hey guys, Matt McCarthy finally won a PGA event. Let's go. All that heartbreak. He came so close that one time. I don't know. Like in the world of hockey, you would get that treatment, right? Like good for them. A golf clap, good for them. Absolutely. I think if the Sabres were to make the playoffs. Ned in Amherst has got an idea for this. What's up, Ned? Ned, you there?
First to come to mind. You got me?
Yeah, go ahead. You're there.
Josh Allen was the first to come to mind, but second was Connor McDavid just finally getting over the finish line. Thinking about Caitlin Clark and LeBron coming out and kind of coronating him as the next great. And then quickly, I think someone the other day was saying, Cole Bishop, just do something during one of these games to kind of shut us up about you. Mm-hmm. It might have been Nate. And I think finally we got that where it's like, okay, you made your splash play. Now we maybe still have to worry a little bit, but I feel a little bit better about that safety position next to Taylor Rapp after Saturday.
Yeah. Thanks, Ned. We're going to get to that.
And it wasn't even a splash play. It was just a play. It was just not even technically on the score sheet as a tackle or a pass breakup.
Mm-hmm.
But you were like, okay, fine. You're like, oh, thank God. He did something.
Yeah. He had another play. The one that I think he's referencing is when he flies up on third and 10
and hits the receiver.
Drills the guy in the back.
Terrible throw. But
Carl Jones tweeted out a video of him making a run stop where he kind of came into the box as like he's playing next to the linebackers and he dives inside of like Epinesa and makes the run stop at the line of scrimmage like he's Matt Milano. So there was a nice play there too for him. We'll see. I mean, it's still the Bucs backups and he's playing around backup, so you know, but better to see that than I think what you saw the week before. Yeah, when we had a similar conversation about like who needs to win it next, which is a little different than I think what we're doing here. This is more like who do you feel good for winning it next? McDavid, I think, is on that list for sure. It might be dependent, though, on how he does it. Because if he does it in Edmonton, I think he absolutely will get that.
Agreed.
If he leaves and goes and wins in, like, Tampa, then I think the feeling might be a little bit different. Maybe. If he goes and does it, like, somewhere else. Which, by the way, I'm thinking about. He still hasn't signed a contract. He's been eligible for 2 months. So anyways, Tommy Fleetwood, he wins the tournament, the Tour Championship yesterday. First PGA win, and next up for golf is the Ryder Cup in a little over a month. So Ned mentions Cole Bishop there, preseason game, number 3 in the books. Now we roll off to the 53-man roster. And really, isn't Bishop the only thing you could really take away from that game? Maybe two things. Two things that are meaningful for the season, because everything else I think is just about, hey, who makes the 53-man roster. That everything else is in relation to who makes the team. The two things that happened in that game, two plays that happened in that game that are separate from that, because they're guys that are going to make the team. One is those Bishop plays.
Yep.
Bishop looking strong. And the other is, man, I hope Dion Walker can translate to the NFL, because there is some talent there.
There is some
Holy
stuff
cow.
There. It was a fantastic performance. I think he ended up with 4 tackles, half a sack in a TFL, and like it was obviously some of the you could look at the score sheet in the box score and looked at him and say, okay, he had a very nice game. Mm-hmm. But if you watched early in that game, him absolutely dominate the line of scrimmage. We've all been looking for a large human in the middle of the defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that from our buddy Greg Thompson, who got a number 96 large human jersey.
like it says large human
on
the back?
Yes, on the back, yeah. And I think like what we've needed is a dominating force that's large in the middle, one tech that can run defend but gives you some pass rush ability.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pass rusher that they're going to try to develop into a guy that can be a sturdy run defender. I feel like that's really hard to come by somebody his size. He is a good pass rusher, in the middle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited. And, you know, I know TJ Sanders didn't maybe make some of the splash plays that you saw Deion Walker make on Saturday night, but he also, I thought, had a good preseason. I am very interested. You know, you mentioned, like, you know, Walker and then Cole Bishop.
Yeah.
I also left Saturday's game thinking, like, Shane Bichel should probably be their practice squad quarterback.
Aren't they going to find a way to keep all four?
Isn't Trubisky
going to be in the active roster? Won't they get White and Bichel to the practice squad?
I don't think
that's what they did last year.
Did they have two guys?
They had both all year on the practice squad.
Did they?
I'll check. Mike White was here, right?
Mike White was here. Shane Bichel was on the IR last year.
That could be the difference.
He was not on practice squad last year. I think he beat out Mike White yesterday.
Maybe. That could be right. Yeah. I'm not. If Mike White's not going to be the backup, I'm not really worried about whether he's on the practice squad or not, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
Because I think you get down to your third-string quarterback. Your third-string quarterback is Josh's assistant in some ways.
Yes.
Right? Because if you ever got to get down to, hey, we've got to play our third. You're signing Tannehill, or you're signing somebody street to play a couple games, I think, before you're trusting that guy for the long term. So, but he did have a nice game. Frank Gore Jr. I think had another nice game.
Yep.
But as I always caution people, running backs almost always look good. Running backs, isn't the preseason the greatest defense for running backs are as replaceable as any position in the sport, and that's why they don't get paid. The guy that Travion Young, the name of the running back the Bills signed on like Thursday, and then he played against the Bucks, and then they cut him already.
Yeah, and then they had
he got the ball in his first snap, and he's like, this guy made a guy miss, and he looked good. But that's running backs. Sign a guy off the street, not even for your team, for the preseason.
Right.
And like, oh, that guy's got some juice.
Just so that Frank Gore doesn't have to tote the rock every single play.
Right, right. Just there are, not to take all credit away from all running backs, but there are 9,000 running backs in the world that I feel like can do things.
Very few, like, truly elite ones, but then, like, the group that is just, like, present, it's probably the one position that's, I don't mean
just
to say
give
it this
them
way,
the rock.
Not easy to play, but it just is like.
I think you could say it.
Yeah.
In comparison. In comparison to the other positions, easier to play. I think, like, if we were going to have a debate about what the hardest position to play is, I don't think we would mention it. I don't think we would bring it up.
Yeah, that's right.
803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get to Tyrell Shavers and his catch that made the rounds, which might have made it even harder to get him to the practice squad, so they might have an even tougher decision. Because nobody missed him now. That touchdown went, you know, as viral as a preseason play
touchdown
can go. It did do that on Saturday.
And I'm wondering, you know, are we now on Dwayne Carter watch?
Maybe their third-round pick from last year. That could be a bubble guy. We'll see. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock for the 53-man roster, we'll ask Sal his thoughts on where that stands and how a reported reunion with Jordan Phillips again, I believe this will be his fourth stint with the Bills. That was reported by Tom Pelissero last night, how that affects the roster and Dwayne Carter and the numbers there. The suspended guys play into that as well. So there's a lot to figure out about what the Bills roster will look like. We have a little bit more on the Tre'Davious White injury. So I want to talk about their defense now as a whole, what they look like at corner. And now that the preseason's over, I mean, not as much just in relation to what the roster will look like at the end, but what it does to their chances against Baltimore in week 1. We could start putting injuries into perspective of, what does this do to your confidence in week 1?
Also, Dane Jackson playing into the fourth quarter.
That's another part of the equation on corner. I would have thought.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's the next man up, but he's also out there right in the fourth preseason
game.
I don't think you're doing
if he's your next man up.
Maybe. So we'll get into that as well. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary is in today. Jeremy White is off today. Some college football over the weekend as well. A lot to get to here on a beautiful Monday morning here on WGR.
You told me on Thursday that you had dreamt about making this the Tour Championship and therefore the FedEx Cup your first PGA Tour win. 164 starts, 30 top five finishes. How does the reality of this moment, Tommy, compare to the idea?
Well, I think I'm proud of what I've done before. Whether I've won or not, I've still been proud of my career and where I've been so far, knowing that I still have a long way to go and a lot to learn. And this doesn't change that, really. This is just hopefully one win, the first of many to come. But you can't win plenty if you don't win the first one. And I'm just so happy that I got it done and happy with my work ethic. And I'll continue to try and get better and try and be the best I can be.
Tommy Fleetwood, fresh off his first PGA win, the Tour Championship. He had another good quote. The other one, be a good person first, golfer second.
Mm.
Overall, good guy.
Yes.
Although,
one of golf's good guys.
I was hoping for a little more emotion when he won.
Like a Rory-esque?
He looked like a business meeting
but
type feel when he won. Right, Rory dropping to his knees. It's not a major, but isn't this kind of his major?
Yeah, I guess.
Like getting one win. Like, come on, guy. One win. And he just looked like, oh, cool. That was nice. After he won it, went right to the handshake, which is fine. Some people celebrate in that way. Some people celebrate in other ways. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. 803-0550 is the phone number. Sal coming up at 8. And Evan Lazar coming up at 8:30. 14 teams in 14 days continues. We'll do New England next. So Evan will join us coming up at 8:30 on the Patriots. The preseason finale featured the one-handed touchdown catch by Tyrell Shavers. And I saw a collective from everybody on Twitter immediately saying, okay, he just made the team with that catch. Did you think the same thing? He made the team the second he made that catch.
I think that if that's what you think, that he probably already made the team before that catch. But it was definitely a, oh, he can do that kind of moment. And
yeah,
right now with the conversations being had about, you know, Elijah Moore and about Curtis Samuel and what the wide receiver room is going to look like in a couple of days, I think it probably went a long way into If he was on the bubble, I feel like that was enough to get him over the hump.
What are we hoping to have happen here with him? Like, are people expecting that he's going to make the team and then he's going to play and then he's going to do what? Like, do we think that there's a belief out there that he can do what Mac Hollins did last year?
I think...
Which, let me put the stat line in front of you. And you tell me if this is the ceiling, if it's beyond the ceiling, this is not possible for him.
Sure.
Or even if you think it's likely. I don't think anyone would think this is likely. But 31 catches, 378 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Would that be...
I think not likely, but I think...
Crazy?
If he played the same amount of snaps...
But that's the problem, right?
I think so.
I think if I read off 31 catches, 378 yards, you might go... Well, it's not. He could do that. He could have 31 catches and 378 yards. I think that might be the absolute peak.
Yeah, I would agree.
But
I would agree that it's the peak.
Him playing 70% of the snaps in order to get there.
Is that what Mac Hollins played?
Mac Hollins last year played 66%. He played 721 snaps.
I would be very surprised if he plays that.
Oh, I'd be stunned.
I'd be very surprised.
I would think there were a lot of injuries if he played that much. So, with that being said, I don't believe that he can do what Mac Hollins did last year. Even though the Mac Hollins stat line really at the end of the day doesn't look that strong. Like it's less than 400 yards. I guess if Shavers put together a couple of giant plays, right? Last year he averaged, you know, he had 170-yard. Really, he had 25%, 30% of the yardage Mac Hollins did, but he did it on one play.
Yeah, he averaged 70 yards a game.
Because that's all he had.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, what are we hoping to have happen here? Just that he's on the team? Do people believe that he's got more in there? He's not this young developmental player. Maybe developmental, you could still argue. But like he's the same age as Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
He's older. He's the same age as Gabe Davis. He's older than Josh Palmer.
Yep.
So he's been battling to be an NFL player for multiple seasons. It'd be a great story. He'd be a depth guy, practice squad, or more than that, probably special teams and whatnot. But I'm just wondering if there are those out there that think there is more in there, that he's a real NFL productive wide receiver.
I think they're not keeping him if they don't think he can be. He doesn't make the 50. If they don't think he can be at least what they had in Mac Hollins, I don't think they would keep him.
You think they think he could be Mac Hollins?
Yes.
I bet Mac Hollins played a lot of snaps last year.
He did, but I also think it was a lot of it was because of the injury that Keon Coleman got.
Yep.
I think if Keon's fully healthy all year, doesn't miss games,
yep,
that 66% of the snaps is probably more like 45% of the snaps.
And Cooper, remember, because Cooper got traded for and then immediately got hurt.
Yep.
And then he either missed a game or was on a limited snap count, and that impacted him as well. So Hollins, the game that he plays the least last year was the Seattle game. Mm-hmm. And that's the big Coleman game.
And that's
right?
When you have a healthy – that's the game that Cooper got hurt in.
No, Cooper got hurt the – oh, no, you're right. He did. Yeah, that's right. I thought he didn't play that game, but he did, and he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on a target. So Cooper gets hurt in that game eventually.
But you have a healthy Cooper in that game and a healthy Keon Coleman.
And they're
which you didn't
the game.
Basically get until week 16
right.
again.
And they're starting the game with Coleman and Cooper. Like,
yep.
All right, here we go. These are our two outside perimeter
yep.
receivers, and Hollins is the backup. And that's probably where they want Shavers to slide in, is that Palmer is going to be their perimeter guy that's off the line, and Coleman's right on it. And they're hoping Shavers can be – maybe what Shavers did yesterday, on Saturday, if anything, is tell the Bills, hey, you don't need Gabe Davis. You don't need to bring Gabe. I'm good. I got this. I can play special teams.
He can't.
Look at this catch I can make. I'm big. You know, I've got some yak ability.
Yep.
Right? Took it to the house against New England last year. I've been working my butt off for 3 years. You don't need Gabe Davis.
I definitely
agree
with that.
Maybe he did that.
That was if there was a statement made, I think that was definitely the statement.
But I am not thinking about him making a big impact on the receiving core.
I'm not either.
The only way that he would have a path to that is if Coleman either gets injured or flames out. Because that's his role. His role is you're Keon Coleman's backup. And if he wants to get involved in the offense, he needs something to happen to Coleman.
And that More than likely.
And that doesn't have to just be injury. It could be him just stinking up the joint.
Yep.
But
I would be surprised, but yeah.
The way camp has sounded so far, that does seem like a surprise. Other takeaways from Saturday's game in the 53-man roster. So Jordan, this isn't from the game, but there's a report that Jordan Phillips is going to sign back with the Bills. And
with the intent to be on the 53-man roster, not the practice squad, was the report I saw.
Right.
I think it was Ryan Talbot that had that.
Yeah. Suspension fill-in?
We talked about Ogunjobi on Friday. We both kind of left thinking, I think he's probably gone, if not right away, right when he's eligible to get back from suspension. And I think it was Sal.
Right.
And maybe we'll see if Sal was able to find out the language around
what they actually save.
If he's on the 53-man roster to start week one, then his base salary becomes guaranteed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that happens if he's suspended or if, you know, so I have thought really long and hard that, like, Ogunjobi's not making the team. He didn't play in the preseason.
Right.
And Michael Hoyt, the other guy getting suspended.
He looked good again on Saturday.
Played a ton.
Yeah.
So if we're just going off of that alone, it was, to me, not a good sign that Ogunjobi wasn't playing at all. When you're like, hey, you're going to miss 6 weeks. We're going to get you geared up and ready to play so that, you know, when you are back from suspension, you can hit the ground running. That never happened. And Dwayne Carter was out there late in that game. Late. And he's been really, frankly, invisible when he's been out there. He just really hasn't made much of an...
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Impact. So to me, the writing on the wall for me is Dwayne Carter, and because I had already thought that Larry Ogunjobi was.
I feel like this is why that position right now, with Phillips on his way, becomes maybe the most interesting position for tomorrow. Because
did it feel like a position that needed a Jordan Phillips? Because I got to be honest, I didn't.
I didn't think so. No, I really didn't. He even said at the end of last year, like, it's Buffalo or bust for me. Like, yeah. I'll retire. But that's what I thought would happen. I thought
he was going to retire, yeah.
He looked like a player that, you know, he wasn't terrible, I guess, last year. But he's not somebody that I'm desperate to bring back.
No, I didn't.
For any reason.
Yeah.
The reason it's interesting to me, though, is if he replaces, almost anybody he would replace would be interesting. Because if it's Larry Ogunjobi, that's, hey, you signed this guy, you wanted this guy, he got suspended, it didn't work out, it's already over. If they cut Dwayne Carter, it's, third-round pick being cut 1 year later. And
yeah, it's
the one other name, again, I think there's only three names I'm thinking about for this, and the third name's interesting, too, is Daquan Jones. Because the Bills save $5.5 million on their cap if they were to release Daquan Jones. So is this that? Is this Ogunjobi's going to go on the shelf? He'll come back middle of the year. We're going to keep going with Dwayne Carter. We're up against the cap.
Yep.
And, hey, Jordan Phillips will cost us $1 million. And Daquan Jones over here costs us $7 million. And is he seven times more valuable for us than Phillips is? I think for almost his entire Bills career, and I would have thought still, he's a more all-around good player than Phillips is at that position. But is he worth, you know, is he not worth maybe getting the $5 million back? That's the other player that they could move on from.
Yeah.
So whoever Phillips replaces, I think it's probably interesting for tomorrow. Coming up at 7, I want to get to what the defense is going to look like for week one. Mm. How confident are we in the defense for week one?
Like, how confident are we that we know the lineup for week one, or just generally speaking?
More than that. More productivity.
Okay.
Confidence that they can slow down Baltimore. They did it in the playoffs. Turnovers. Do we think maybe they need turnovers again? The way that their roster
might look
like.
They're always going to need turnovers.
In week one.
I think their defense is built to get turnovers.
We'll get to that, because I think they're... That's true, and I would expect they'd get them, but I think their offseason was geared towards being good enough on defense that they could not get turnovers in a single game and still manage.
Hmm.
And I wonder if that's true, the way that it's going to look like against the Ravens, depending on Trey White, who we got to get more updates on. But we have something on that. We'll get that to you coming up at 7 o'clock. 803-0550, the phone number if you want to get a call in on the way back here on WGR. Welcome back. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. This is the Saber Highlight Bet, isn't it?
I haven't heard a Sabres highlight in so long that I'm not sure. That's like, is this what they used in the 90s? I don't know.
Sorry. I don't need to get it.
You don't want to get it.
Under a month away from the Saber preseason. Which means we're like 2 weeks from training camp. It sneaks up on you. 803-0550,
yeah,
the phone number.
You don't think about it.
There's a big name player in the NFL that looks like his team's going to look to trade him. Get to that in 1 second. Mike in Tonawanda's got a question first. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. So with this talk right now of possibly trading Dwayne Carter or cutting him, can we officially say that they lost that trade to Kansas City? Because that was a third-round pick. We still don't know about Coleman. We still have a question about him. Worthy seems like a hit for Kansas City right now. If this comes through when they get rid of Carter, can we just count that as a loss right there? Because basically, you could have still had Coleman if you stayed put. And maybe Casey still would have got a Worthy, but it wouldn't have been new trading with them, you know? Mm. So, I don't know.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for the
fair
call.
Question.
I mean, for me, that trade will always be a loss because I just would never trade with Kansas City.
Yeah, Dwayne Carter would have had to be, I don't know. Really good.
Aaron Donald.
I went to the
furthest extreme there. It's a loss for me because I did business with Kansas City and I let them get what they wanted.
Yeah.
And listen, like, you know, it's not even about Worthy because what if they took Coleman?
Yeah.
They could have took Coleman. The Bills knew, I mean, what Bean said after that draft pick was, or that draft night, was they didn't know who the Chiefs wanted. They kind of knew what position. So if you truly were obsessed with the idea of drafting Keon Coleman that night, I don't think you would have given that
pick the opportunity
to a team that you knew wanted a receiver and you didn't know which one. Because that means that it could have been Coleman.
Yeah.
It could have been. So, but they probably had a bunch all in one bucket and thought they're all, you know, maybe they're different body types, but they're similar, you know, caliber of prospects. So if it's Worthy or it's Coleman or it's Ladd McConkey, that's the one I'm losing sleep over more now.
Yeah, I lose sleep over McConkey all the time.
I'll say this. I liked Worthy. I liked the idea of picking him, and I wouldn't have done that trade. I'm not losing sleep at night because of Xavier Worthy. I'm losing sleep at night because of Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, and I guess we could all be happy and glad that Kansas City didn't get their hands on Ladd McConkey.
Like, I think Worthy's going to be a good player for a long time, and I think Coleman could be a good player for a long time. I think Coleman at least is going to be a role player for a long time. I don't think either one of them are ever going to be, like, star receivers.
I don't think either one of them will be a number one receiver.
I think McConkey
is
maybe he's already that.
And probably in a top 20 receiver.
And he went one pick after Coleman or two picks after Coleman.
Would you say top 20 receiver in the league?
Yes. Today?
I think I would agree.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 1,200 yards.
Yeah.
And seven touchdowns.
In a run-first offense.
In a run-first offense in year one.
Yeah.
So, but to your question, like, sure. You know, because I try not to play that game with trades is what did the picks become at the end? Because then right now I'd be losing sleep that Justin Jefferson isn't a Buffalo Bill.
Well,
right?
Of course.
So I try not to play that game. If you want to play that game, then Dwayne Carter through a year isn't helping the Bills case. Put it that way. Super fast, like 20 seconds. Travis Etienne is looking to be traded by the Jaguars, and the Jaguars look like they're looking to trade him. Not a Bills idea.
No.
At all.
Absolutely not.
Any team come off the top of your head, though, looking for a running back? Miami. Yeah, they have all the running backs are injured, except for Ollie Gordon. I thought of Kansas City, actually, for him.
Oh.
Because what?
I hate that. Thanks.
Kareem Hunt's their number two again? He was almost retired.
Yeah, I hate that. Thanks.
But Etienne's not that good. He can go there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's not at all what, you know, we argued about as a draft prospect 4 years ago.
No.
This dynamic weapon that you can line up at receiver and running back. And
he's looked largely cooked.
Yeah, he's just a guy kind of.
Yeah.
So I would not be terrified if he went to any other AFC team. 803-0550 is the phone number. All right, how confident are you in the defense for week one? We usually frame it in like what they'll be in the playoffs. What about for the first game against Baltimore? If Tre'Davious White is out, all the two guys that are suspended, Cole Bishop, like I wonder how confident fans are in that defense right now going up against Jackson and Henry. Get to that when we come back. Sal coming up at 8. Joe DiBiase and Nate Geary. Jeremy is off today, and this is WGR.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.